Okay. Good morning. Today's daf is daf Ayin Vav. In Menachos, we're on the top of the daf. We're starting with the Mishnah. Seventh parak is a very short parak of Menachos. Just dealt with some of the more basic issues regarding Menachos. We talked about Koma Shirayim. And we're going to hopefully finish today. The Mishnah starts off called Menachos Tuna Shalosh Meos Shifa Bechamesh Meos Beita. Shifa ubiita bechitin. Every mincha requires preparation, and the Mishnah describes the process in preparation, in which it requires 300 rubbings and 500 poundings.
Is this an exaggeration? Right?
No, I don't know. It doesn't seem that way. In fact, the Gemara is going to give very specific instructions in terms of how to do it. You are right, Michael. Sometimes the Gemara, when using the number 300, uses 300. I don't know why that number specifically, but uses that number in terms of an exaggeration. But here, no, doesn't sound that way. It sounds like it means it specifically. Now, every mincha requires 300 rubbings and 500 poundings. It seems like we're talking about the actual chaff itself, meaning before it is ground up into flour. That is just simply how you prepare the actual grain itself. The way Rashi describes it is that which
his fist or his palm of his foot,
right? Right. The right. Looking at the old Rashi, the Ksav Yad Rashi, Meshavshef Chitim Ben Yadav Shehe Noche Klipa Lahashir. Right. Rashi says that by this process, the 500 rubbings and the 300 poundings. By this other way around. 300 rubbings, 500 poundings. By this process, the klipa of the shell is going to come off easier. Okay. Oh, habatsekedeshena. Or the flour comes out a little bit, the dough comes out a little bit better. All right, the form of preparation. According to the Tanakhama, you do this to the actual kernel itself. This is not something you do with the dough. You do this with the kernel. Rav Yossi Amar Babatzik. Rav Yossi says you do it by the dough. He means even by the dough, or he means only by the dough. Gemara is going to try to clarify that issue.
Isn't there like a risk of turning into chametz with all the work we do with the dough for such a long time?
Right.
500.
According to Rav Yossi, your question is better for Rav Yossi. Meaning,
yeah.
According to Rav Yossi, yeah. Now it happens to be a secret, which in the world of chametz. Which the Gemara Pesachim actually says straight out, it's not such a secret, is that as long as you work the dough, it's not going to turn into chametz. Now, again, we are machmir because of our lack of knowledge, and we just basically start the clock of 18 minutes the moment the water touches the flour, but between us friends, that's not really true, meaning that it only turns into chametz if it's left untouched and unworked for 18 minutes. Okay, Rav Yossi Amar Bebatzei Kol Menachos Baos Eser. Okay, how many loaves do you make? So the rule is you make 10 loaves. Okay, that's the rule. Generally speaking, the amount of flour that you use, which we'll talk more about over the course of today, so that's the standard, meaning for a regular mincha, you're using one isaron. But how many loaves do you make? So you make 10 loaves. The only time that you make 12 loaves is going to be two exceptions to that rule. And that's going to be the lechem apanim, the chaviti kohen gadol. Lechem apanim that's brought every week. The chaviti kohen gadol, which is brought daily by the kohen gadol. So they come 12 loaves. Dear Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So according to Rav Yehuda, your default position is going to be always 10 loaves with those two exceptions. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kulam Baal Shtemisrei, Chutz Mechalas Todem Unaziros. And Rabbi Meir says, no, your default is 12. Not 10, but 12. According to Rabbi Meir, the only exceptions are going to be the Chalos Toda, the loaves that are for the carbon Toda, and your Chalos Naziros, your loaves that the Nazir brings in accompaniment with his carbonos. They come as 10 loaves, but otherwise your default is always going to be 12 loaves. Okay, stay tuned as the Gemara is going to go through what exactly the machlokas is between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Just a couple of small points the Gemara picks up on Tana. Shaf achas bo ishtayim, shaf shtayim bo ishalosh. The Gemara gives a very precise process of how you rub and pound. So it's one rubbing followed by two poundings. Then it's two rubbings followed by three poundings.
What is rubbing?
Rubbing, pounding? Rubbing, thank you. Rubbing means you take the kernel and you actually rub it between your fingers. And pounding, not sure. Pounding the
Aren't these flowers?
No, we're talking about the actual, well, according to the Tanakhama, we're talking about the kernel itself, the kernel of grain. And the whole point of it is so that the shell comes off a little bit easier. Okay, so for those of you who have been counting at home, it's 1 to 2, and then 2 to 3. So that equals
300 and 500.
Right, that's 3. And you do that 100 times, so that's going to get you 300 and 500. Okay, by Rav Yirmiyah, a question which the Gemara poses often, and the Gemara every time it asks this question leaves itself unresolved. How do you count? Meaning when we say Rab, do you mean back is one, forth is two, or back and forth is one? Take what the Gemara says, I don't know. Again, this is a question the Gemara asks very often and always comes up with an uncertainty. The Gemara wants to know, according to Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi is of the clear position that you need to do this by the dough, which means that you're going to go 300, 500 rubbings, poundings, respectively, by the dough. Dough is going to be fantastic, right, after all that work. Does he mean the dough but not the kernels? Or he means kernels and the dough? So Tashma, Detanya, Shifa, Vita, Bechitin, Rav Yossi, Amar, Shifa, Uvita, Babatzek. So from this brisa, it sounds a little bit clearer than the Mishnah. The Mishnah, there's really not, it's not super clear because the Rav Yossi, Amar, Bibatzek, meaning you really could go either way in the Mishnah. However, the brisa over here says, according to Rav Yossi, it's very clear directive. It's she'ifa uvevita b'batzek. The rubbing and the pounding is only by the dough, not by the kernels. Kol menachos bo shtei misrei. Okay, here we go. Okay, everyone, keep your scorecard out because we're going to do what we do a lot through Zvachim and Menachos, and we're going to make limudim, and we're going to see which one's a better limud to make based on the number of similarities. Right? We've done this a number of times already. We're going to do this again over here. The issue that we're going to be taking up with for basically the rest of the Talmud, how many loaves do I make? Meaning, we know the amount of flour that's used. That's not the issue. The issue is simply, how many loaves do I make? So there are a couple places in the Torah where the Torah states it clearly, how many loaves you make. By the Lechem Apanim, the Torah says 12. By the Lachmei Todah, the Torah says 10. Okay, so we have a couple of places where the Torah is absolutely clear, number of loaves that you make. It's going to be all the other times in the Torah where the Torah doesn't give us a number. And so basically what we're going to do is we're going to see, well, which one is more comparable? Where am I going to learn it from? What's going to set the precedent? Okay, it's simple. It's a pretty straightforward process that we're going to go through right now. Lechem Apanim Be'ajiksiv Bey. Okay, so as far as the Lechem Apanim is concerned, the Torah says 12. 12 loaves of bread. They're stacked into columns of two. Each column is going to contain six. Six and six. Good. And Chavita Kohen Gadol Asichuka Chuka Melechem Apanim. As far as the Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, so that's learned through Gzeira Shava. Okay? So now we have one known entity, which is the Lechem Apanim. By a limud of Gzeira Shava, now we have Chavita Kohen Gadol, so that we have two known entities. Good. Now, Kol Menachos Debaos Eser Eser Minalan. As far as all the other menachos coming from 10 loaves, where does that come from? So, Gamar Melachmei Todah. Here's another one where we know. Lachmei Todah has 10 loaves. Malahalan Eser Afkan Eser. So, just like that's 10, so too, all the other ones are going to be 10. Okay? So,
to divide it though.
Okay, good. So, to start us off now, here's the things that we know, and then we're going to try to carry over to what we don't know. We know Lechem Apanim is 12. We know the Chavita Kohen Gadol is 12 loaves. We know that the Lachmei Todah is 10 loaves. That's all we know. Then all the others we're going to derive. Where are we going to derive it from? Lachmei Todah. So now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. So, V'leilof Melechem Apanim. Okay, yeah, so why did you go to Lachmei Todah? Why don't you go to Lechem Apanim? So, Ma Lahalan Shemes Rei Afkan Shemes Rei. Okay, Mistabar Melechem Todah, Havalei Lamelof. So, it's Gemara says it's more mistaber. It's more logical that we're going to learn from Lachmei Todah. Okay, so keep out your scorecards. Shekain, Yachid, an individual. Meaning Lachmei Todah is brought by an individual. Your standard menachos are brought by individuals. Not the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim is not brought by an individual. Hamisnade, it comes as a donation. Meaning a Todah is not an obligation. The Todah is voluntary. So to oral, most other menachos are voluntary, so therefore they're going to come 10 loaves. Lechem upon him is not voluntary, it's obligatory. Shemen, there's oil. There's oil that goes into the mincha of the lachmei todah. There's oil that goes into your standard mincha. That's not true by the lechem upanim. Lechem upanim has no oil. Nifsal, it is...
Lina, right?
Nifsal, it's subject to becoming disqualified through the process of lina. Meaning, once I put into a clean, once it has received kedushas aguf, so now it's subject to become disqualified if left overnight. That's not true by the lechem upanim. Lechem upanim is impervious to lina. In fact, as we know, it's left on the shulchan the whole week.
But
so
if you left it like for 2 weeks, that's a problem, no?
No, it's... I forget where the discussion is had, but the Gemara has a discussion about forgetting, leaving it there. I don't know how they would forget, but the Gemara has that discussion. I do not remember where this Gemara is, but the basic point is that it stays overnight, and it doesn't become disqualified, and... Okay. Shalab b'Shabbos v'shalab b'tumah. Your lach metoda cannot be born in Shabbos. It cannot be born in a state of tumah, right? That's true by the lach metoda. It's true by menachos in general. That's not true by the lechem apanim. Lechem apanim, because it's a communal offering, so first of all, it can be offered on Shabbos, and number two, it can be offered even in a state of tumah as well.
That's six.
Okay, good. All right, so we now know home team is six. Okay, what about the away team? It's not fair. I get to assign who's home and who's away. So, but you know, I'm the commissioner for today. So, Adarabba, the Gemara says, or just let's do it the other way. Melechem upanim avalelamelav. Look at all the similarities of your regular mincha to the lechem upanim. Shekein hekdesh. Shekein hekdesh. Right, lechem upanim has the status of kodesh kadashim. Every mincha has the status of kachay kachim. Right, and so good. So that's a similarity. Lechem upanim is kachay kachim. Kachay kachim means can only be eaten by kohanim. Can only be eaten in the temple courtyard. Right, zichrei kohuna. And that's true by all your menachos as well. That's not true by the lach metoda. Interestingly enough, Lach Metoda, even though it's a mincha, doesn't have the status of Kodesh Kadashim. Why? Very simple. Because it's an attachment to the Karban Toda. The Karban Toda is a Shlomim. So Karban Toda can be eaten by anybody. Karban Toda can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. It's not Kodesh Kadashim, it's Kachim Kalim. The mincha that comes together with it, the loaves that come together with the Lach Metoda, with the Toda, I should say, the Lach Metoda, there's also Kachim Kalim. Okay, good. So that's one similarity that you have regarding mincha to the lechem upanim. Two, levona, right? There's frankincense that goes on both of them, which is not true by the lach metoda. No levona on the lach metoda. Matzah, it comes from unleavened bread, right? Both of them come from unleavened bread as opposed to lach metoda, which 10 of those loaves comes from leavened bread. The etzem. And finally, number four, is that they come as a result of themselves. They are not an attachment to something else. They are independent, self-standing menachos. That's true by the lach upanim, and that's true by menachos in general. That's not true by the lach metoda. Lach metoda is not etzem. It's not self-standing. It is an attachment to the toda. Okay. So, final score for this game is going to be, it's not a game, but you understand, it's 6-4, okay? So Hanach Nefishin, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to learn it not from the Lechem Upanim, which is 12, but we're going to learn it from the Lach Metoda, which is 10. 10 loaves of bread, all menachos are 10 loaves of bread. Isvirlan, now, let's go to one of our two favorite dapim in Zvachim, right? It's Daf Memtes, it's Daf Nun, it's Daf Nun Aleph, right around that area. Where, if you remember, the Gemara says, can you go two steps in terms of making limudim? Can I go gzereshava binyanav? Can I go gzereshava hekesh? Can I write? And there are four possibilities and four permutations, and there were 16 total. I'm sorry, there are four ways to do it on both sides. 16 permutations in total. And the Gemara went and probed and went through every single one of the 16 permutations. So the Gemara says like this: East Viralan Davralamik Big Zereshava Choser Umalamid Bibinyanav Nalef Mechavite Kohen Gadol. Now remember, when we start the whole discussion, the Torah only tells us two times how many loaves there are. Once is Lachmei Torah, which is 10. Second time is by Lechem Aponim, which is 12 loaves of bread. We do have a Gzeres Shava that gives us a third mincha. That's the Minchas Chavitin Kohen Gadol, that which is 12 loaves of bread, but that we don't, the Torah doesn't say explicitly. The Torah teaches us this through Gzeres Shava. But now that we know that through Gzeres Shava, can we then go ahead and make Binyanav after Gzeres Shava? So we know Chavite Kohen Gadol is 12. We know that through Gzeres Shava, can we be Chozer Umalamed? Can we then go ahead and make a second derivation from the Gzeres Shava now to all other Menachos? And so we're going to do this again. We're going to go and see similarities. And the Gemara puts a huge disclaimer on this whole discussion, meaning, I understand this only works if you're Chozer Umalamed. Not everyone's Chozer Malamed. In other words, so the discussion may be moot, but if you are Chozer Malamed, can we do it from Chavite Kohen Gadol? So, Malahana Shemes Rav Kan Shemes Rav Mistabra Malach Metodahu Havalel Amela Shekain. So now the battle that takes place over here is between Lach Metoda versus Chavite Kohen Gadol, and once again, take out your scorecards. Shekain, Hedyot. So, as far as Lach Metoda, it's brought by a Hedyot. A commoner, meaning Minchas Chavite Kohen Gadol is brought by the Kohen Gadol. Shehisna Dave, it is donated, right? The Lach Metodah is donated, so are all other Menachos in general. Not you by the Chavite Kohen Gadol, not donated, it's an obligation. Chatzain, it is divided.
Not divided.
It is, right, thank you. I'm thinking to myself, it's not divided. Right. That's correct. It's not divided.
The halves are not divided.
The halves are not divided. Right. By a regular mincha, it's not divided. By your lach metodah, it's not divided. By your minchas chavitin, divided. Machatzisa baboker, machatzisa ba'erev. Do you remember? I said to the Rambam. The Rambam says, not only do you divide it, the Rambam says you actually take the loaves. You take the 12 loaves after being baked, and you actually break the loaves in half, and half of the loaves come in the morning, half of the loaves come in the afternoon, and if memory serves me correctly, the Ravid says that's not what you do, because no way you're going to make an even break when you break the loaves. So six loaves go in the morning, six loaves go in the afternoon, and okay, the good. So, Chatzain, so again now, I lost count, was that number three?
That was three.
Thank you. Okay, so that's your third similarity between Menachos in general, and the Lach Metodah. Pigle, okay? Subject to the disqualification of Pigle. And Chavitin?
No.
Not subject to Pigle?
There's no matter, is there? Well, Chavitin, there's no matter.
Oh, okay. That's
what it is.
Okay, that's the explanation. Thank you very much. Okay, good. Excellent. Okay. Pigol, Shalom B'Shabbat, Shalom B'Tumah, and by Menachos, you don't bring it on Shabbos, you don't bring it on Tumah, as well as your Lach Metodah, you don't bring it on Shabbos, you don't bring it on Tumah, and your Chavitin, you do bring on Shabbos, and you do bring B'Tumah because it's an obligation. Good. Adarabah, Chavitin Kohen Gadol, Havala Lamed, Shekain. Chavitin Kohen Gadol, however, is a better limud, says the Gemara. Why? Isaron, because the amount of flour, okay? Menachos, generally speaking, is an Isaron. Chavite Kohen Gadol is an Isaron. Lach Metodah, 20 Esronim. It's a lot. That's a lot of flour that's used by the Lach Metodah. Okay, that's one. That takes us to the Minchas Chavite. Two, Kli. You use a, you're Mekadesh it with a Kli. As opposed to the Lach Metodah, where how does it get imbued with Kedusha? Not the Kli, but through the carbon, through the animal. Hekdesh, it has the status of Kodesh Kedashim. Again, Lach Metodah does not have the status of Kodesh Kedashim because it's an attachment to a Shlamim. Lavona, both of them get Lavona. Both your Chavitin and your Mincha in general, your Lach Metodah does not get Lavona. Matzah, not leavened. Etzem comes as a result of itself, non-attachment to something else. Hagasha, the mitzvah of Hagasha is true by your Menachos in general, as it is by the Minchas Chavitin. By Lach Metodah, there's no mitzvah of Hagasha. Ishim, it is burned on the fire. Chavitim is burnt on the fire. Menachos A kamitza is burnt on the fire, lach metoda, not burnt on the fire. The hani nefishin, and now, what's the final score?
Nine to six, or eight to six?
I think Shabbos and Tumah, they count as one. Okay? But still, okay, hani nefishin, and now, and this is more. Okay, so now that we're here, so now the Gemara says, so now we have an issue. Because if this is the way we're going to do it, if we're going to learn it from Chavitin, Chavitin has more similarities, so now our default position, our binyanav, should be 12 loaves and not 10 loaves. Okay, if this is the way you do it, but again, all this is under the umbrella of a huge disclaimer, that this only works if you're able to go Gzereshava to binyanav. Okay? Hedra me hedra da difle. But the Gemara says very simply and very dismissively, now, but it's still better to learn it out from Lach Metoda. Why? Because the Minchas Kohen Gadol is brought by the Kohen Gadol, and it's hard to set any type of precedent from a Mincha that's brought by the Kohen Gadol. He is the Kohen Gadol. He's a unique individual, and it's just simply in terms of binyanav and creating precedent, you can't do that. You can't create a precedent from a Kohen Gadol. So even though, yes, it's true, there are more similarities between a regular mincha to a minchas chavitin than there is between a regular mincha and a lach metoda, but still, it's more mistaber, it's more logical to go to the lach metoda because he's a hedgel.
Interesting, I didn't discuss the idea that if the Kohen Gadol dies, minchas on his lach, you brought rather than regular mincha, you don't have to bring
it. Right. The idea that we're calling it the Kohen Gadol is interesting because you're right, it's brought even without the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Meir Omer Kulam Baushtei Mestrei. Okay, now, good. So that was all in explanation of Rabbi Huda. So again, to put a long story very short, how many loaves do you make of each mincha? The correct answer is 10. Well, correct answer is the machlokas, but Rabbi Huda says 10. How do I know that? So the Gemara says we make it a binyanav. Either it's a binyanav, no, not either. It is a binyanav on the lach metoda, period. Okay? What Rav Meir in our Mishnah says, Menachos are made out of 12 loaves, not 10 loaves. Rav Meir, Omer Kulam Bao Shtei Mesrei, excuse me, my conslover, Yisrael Le Dedev Alam Me Begzer Shav Achozem Alam Me Begniyanav, Yalav Mechaviti Kohen Gadol Dahan in Ephesian. So, one argument on behalf of Rav Meir is, we'll go to Chaviti Kohen Gadol. We'll learn it from Chaviti Kohen Gadol, and as we already pointed out, more similarities. Chaviti Kohen Gadol won by a score of 8 to 6. More similarities to Chavite Kohen Gadol. That's one way to explain Rav Meir. Or Yisvirle Dedavar Lamei Begzer Shavei Enu Chozem Lamei Bibinyanav Yalav Melechem Apanim Hektesh Mehektesh Adiflei. Or we'll just simply say no. I'd much rather learn to Lechem Apanim. As we pointed out, we went through the exercise of learning from Lechem Apanim. We found that Lechem Apanim does not have as many similarities as Lach Metoda. The final score over there was 6-4. But the Gemara says, okay, but still, when all said and done, Lechem Apanim is a better binyanav. Why? Kodesh Kadashim. Because Lach Metoda is Shlamim. It's not Kodesh Kadashim. So if I'm going to go to what is a better model where I'm going to learn from, Lechem Apanim is a better model because it is Kodesh Kadashim. Okay. Good. All right. So, Machlokes Rav Yehuda Rav Meir, how many loaves do I make? For your standard mincha, 10 loaves, 12 loaves. Halacha goes like Rav Yehuda, right? The Rambam goes like Rav Yehuda, 10 loaves. Okay, next. Chutz me'lach metoda nazir shehein baus eser. Lach metoda and your nazir are made up of 10 loaves. Lach metoda behejiksiv. Now, lach metoda, the Torah says specifically, they are made up of 10 loaves. Nazirus damamar shlamav l'rabba shlami nazir. Special ribui that tells us that the Shami Nazir also is made up of 10 loaves. Amar of Tuvi Barkista Amar Shmuel. Lach Metoda. Now, when it comes to the carbon toda, the Torah tells us very clearly that I make it up four different types. Of those four different types, each one is made up of 10 loaves. Okay? And you have to give a truma, you have to give one of each to the Kohen. So that means that when you're going to walk away from bring your carbon toda, you're going to go home, or not home, but you're going to stay in Yerushalayim, and you're going to consume 36 loaves of menachos, and the Kohen's going to get four to take home and bring two with his family, and eat with his family. The Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel the following halacha. Lach metoda sha'afan arba chalos yatzah. instead of making 10 loaves of each, let's say you made one big loaf of each. Okay? Shmuel says you have fulfilled your obligation. Yatza.
Total
4. Meaning, you have the flour, you're supposed to take each flour and divide into 10 loaves, totaling 4 different types of, totaling 40 loaves. And instead, for reasons which I can't explain, I don't know what the motivation is, but instead you made one huge loaf of each of the 4 different types, totaling only 4 loaves. Okay? Right, the Hasidic Rebbe likes the extraordinarily big loaf. Okay, so again, I don't know what motivation is. It doesn't matter. The Sha'afan Arba Chalos Yatzav, Ahabin and Arba'im. So the Gemara asks a super simple question. Doesn't the Torah say you need 40 loaves? L'mitzvah. Gemara gives us a simple answer. Yeah. L'chatchila, it's not such a simple answer. Meaning, when do we have the right to say the Torah only meant that l'chatchila, but not b'di'evit? Okay, but the answer is okay. L'chatchila, I need to make 40 loaves of bread. But if of the 4 types, I only make one large loaf for each type, Yatzar, fulfill my obligation. V'ha ba'yifrushi truma minayu. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember, you got to give of each of the 4 types, you got to give 10% to the Kohen. Now, if you have 10 loaves, so that's easy. So just give him one loaf. But if you made one big loaf, so what are you going to do? V'chitem, and the Gemara says, now, hold on, says the Gemara. V'chitem et demafish mikol chaz v'chaz. So what do you mean? So break off a piece from the loaf and give it to the Kohen. And break off 10% and give it to the Kohen. Echad amar rachmana shelo yitol paros. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. The part of the mitzvah of truma, of giving one to the Kohen, is that you have to give him a shlema. You got to give him a complete loaf. So it's not going to be good enough to simply break off a piece and give it to the Kohen. So how does Shmuel's halacha work that you make one large loaf and that's fine, but how do you mafresh truma give it to the Kohen?
Can you give more than 10%?
This, no. So the afreshin abelisha. So the Gemara gives another suggestion. We'll defend Shmuel. We'll give the Kohen his loaf while it's still dough. So while it's still dough, so I'll take 10%, put it aside. Mm-hmm. Now I'll bake one large loaf, and that is a support of Shmuel's halacha, at the same time being able to give a Kohen his one loaf and not to have it broken off. But
if it's still good, is that considered Gemar Malacha? Like, is that...
I'll repackage your question. I know, right, Gemar Malacha, because in general, but in the world of Trumas Maisos, you need Gemar Malacha. This is dough, so it's a little bit different. The mitzvah of challah, if we're going to compare it to anything, the mitzvah of challah is while it's dough. So, is it have kedusha of lachmei todah while it's still dough? Meaning, generally speaking, we say it only has kedusha after you shech the karmen todah. Okay. Meitzvei. So the Gemara challenges, and the Gemara says that you can have more or less than what the Torah prescribes. Meaning, the Torah gives us a very clear number when it comes to the lachmei todah. That's it. You need that number. And the Braisa says that if you don't do it, it's not kosher. So how do you defend Shmuel? So the Gemara says, "Hu da'amar." We're on top of the next amud. "Hu da'amar ki aitana." So the Gemara says, in defense of Shmuel, we'll just simply say, "Look, you're right. That brisa that we just quoted is going to be a challenge, but he has another brisa. The Tanya will enter another brisa. Kol menachas shariba b'midas chalasan hashemiyah b'midas chalasan shares chutz melechem apanim v'chavite kohen gadol. The only menachas that are absolute in terms of the quantity and the number are the lechem apanim and the chavite kohen gadol, where there." The number is 12 for both, and those are absolutes. That has to be 12. Anything else, the Torah gives a number, but and you should follow that number, but it's not ma'akev. V'yesh omrim, and now there's another opinion in the Braisa, af lachmei todah u'nezirus. Even lachmei todah. Oh, so you see now that it's a machlokis in the Braisa. The Tanakhama says, only the lechem apanim and the chavite kohen gadol; those are absolutes. Everything else is just strong recommendations of the Torah, right? Strong recommendations, but not absolutes. According to the Yesh Omrim, even the Lachmei Torah is an absolute. So Shmuel will just simply say, I follow like the Tanakhama, I don't follow like the Yesh Omrim. Rav Huna Minchas Ma'afeh She'afa Chala Achas Yatsa. Rav Huna says that the Minchas Ma'afeh, the oven-baked mincha, which we know is made up of 10 loaves of either rikikin or chalos, and you make it one large loaf, your yosi fulfill your obligation. My taima, matzos ksiv. Because if you look in Vayikra, and you look by your mafet tanur, so it says matzos, but it's missing the vav. Kriu ksiv, we talk about this all the time. There's a mesorah, there's a tradition, not only to how to read the words, but how to write the words as well, of the Torah. So when the Torah describes the mafet, the minchas mafet, so we have a tradition that the word matzah is spelled mem, sadi, tes. Now, it could be pronounced matzah. Now, we don't. Meaning, our Masorah not only tells us how to write it, but the Masorah also tells us how to read it. But we look at both, meaning as how to interpret halacha, both how you read it and how you write it are significant. There is a question, an overarching question the Gemara asks very often, Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMisora. Which one is more important? Which one is more directive? The way you read it, Yesh Eim LaMikra, or Yesh Eim LaMisora, or the way it's written?
So it's saying here, with the Vav, it would have required a specific amount.
Right,
without the Vav,
correct, absolutely correct. Had it said it with a Vav, Matzos, so that's plural, and that would mean that you have to make it of loaves. One loaf won't be good enough. But the fact that it's written without a vav, meaning that in the written form it's singular, so that means that even if you make it one loaf, it would be good b'di'evit. Okay? This is a halacha stated to us by Rav Papa. My time of dechsiv matzos. Haksiv matzos lo. So the Gemara says, okay, a simple deduction from Rav Papa is, had the Torah written it, mem tzadi, vav, tough, had the Torah done that, so then, it clearly would be that you have to make it loaves. And if you make it a loaf, that wouldn't be good. V'ha, gabi lach metoda dechsiv matzos. Lach metoda, where the Torah writes it male, the Torah writes it with a vav. And so that would mean then that it has to be loaves. V'ha, amar, rav tuvi, bar kista, amar shmo, lach metoda shafan arba chalos. Yotza. But meanwhile, we just finished the halach of Shmuel, and Shmuel says that if you make four giant loaves, so that means of each type you only make one, you fulfilled your obligation. But based on what Rav Papa just taught us, that you have to look at the way the Torah writes out the word, with a vav means it's got to be loaves, without a vav means it could be just one loaf, so then Rav Papa would be arguing with Shmuel, and the Gemara says that's correct. Hahi pliga. So the Gemara says that we'll just simply pit Rav Papa against Shmuel. They argue one another.
But on the Torah, it's only 10 loaves that are chometz, and the other ones are not. So the other three giant loaves would be giant matzahs?
Giant matzahs. You're correct. You're absolutely correct. Okay. Right. And by the way, just for confirmation, right, I'm looking at it right now. Every one of them is with a vav. Right? Chalos matzos with a vav. Okay. Move on. We move on to the next Mishnah. Ha'omer hayaba yisaron mishalosh sayin. Bottom line is, in terms of the number of loaves, we go like Rav Yehuda, that generally the mincha has 10 loaves, right? The only exceptions are going to be the lechem aponim and the chaviti kohen gadol, where they're going to be 12 loaves, but otherwise they're 10 loaves. That's the bottom line of the Mishnah. And the halach of Shmuel, I don't know. The Gemara challenges, but the Gemara defends him. And Rav Papa argues with him, and okay, that part I'm not sure. Ha'omer hayabai yisaron mishalosh sayin. Okay, we talked about this earlier. We talked about this in the sixth parak, but this is a seventh parak is a more global discussion about menachos. It's not specific. So ha'omer hayabai yisaron mishalosh sayin. When you start with the omer, so you start off with three sa'as of flour, and you sift it down to one isaro. Now, I'll let you in on a little secret. Three sa'ah is equal to an ephah. An isaron is a tenth of an ephah. Okay. So after the sifting process, right? Everyone see what kind of reduction we're talking about? After you start off with all that flour and you sift and you sift and you sift, you're going to end up with 1/10 of what you originally started off with.
You don't stop at flour, you stop at kernels, right?
It seems to be, it's not clear. It's not really clear when we say we start with 3 sa'ah, but it would seem like we're talking about the actual flour itself, meaning ground, you know, the ground barley.
Been processed and that chaff and everything has been taken off.
We learned before?
I'm not sure if all the chaff is taken off. In other words, from Rashi's description, I'll cite a little bit of it this morning, it sounds like there's still some chaff left on, which is going to get processed out.
A couple of talks ago, we learned it was 5, right?
Machlokas, that's, you are right. Correct. Right. That was on Shabbos.
Right.
On Shabbos, we wanted more so that we would end up working less. Right. Okay, fine. So when it comes to the Omer, we start with 3 sa'ah and we go down to 1 isa'ah. Again, that's basically a reduction, starting with 10, going down to 1. Okay. It's a serious reduction. Shtei halachem, and now when it comes to the shtei halachem, shtei esronim, so you start off, I'm sorry, you want to end up with 2 isarons, okay, and mishal shayin, and there, you start off with the same amount, okay? So you start off with an ephah, and you sift, and you sift, and you sift, and 1 ephah goes down to 2 isaron. Okay, now, right, that's 10 down to 2, okay. Why the discrepancy? The Gemara is going to explain that to us. So just give me a moment. The Gemara will explain. Lechem aponim. Now, lechem aponim, that's a lot of flour. Esrim v'arba esronim. 24 esronim for the lechem aponim. Okay, that's a lot. Me esrim v'arba sa'in. But here, you start off with 24 sa'as. So 24 sa'a down to 24 esronim.
That equals 8 ephahs.
24 saw, right, correct, is 8 Eifah. Okay. Explanation, so the Gemara is going to give it. Meaning why do we not have the same ratio every single time in terms of how much I need to start off with and how much it gets sifted and reduced down to? So the Gemara gives explanations. My time it came into mechadash asi or misa'aron asi isaron mufcher lo asi ela mishaloshayin. So let's start off with the omer. Omer is by far the hardest. You start off with a full ephah, 3 sa'ah, and you're reducing it all the way down to 1 isaron. So the Gemara says there are two explanations. Number one, it's barley. Again, by the way, I'm not the farmer, I don't have actual experience in this, but I take the Gemara at its word. By barley, there's just more chaff, more schmutz, just more. So that's one reason why I need to start off with so much more in order to get down to 1 isaron. Also says the Gemara chadash. And remember, it's new grain, and with new grain, again, just more chaff. And more stuff I don't need. Okay, so that's that explanation. Shtei alechem, shtei esronim, shal shayin. What about the shtei alechem? So here came the mechita asyan, afagav the mecharash asyan, shtei esronim asu mishalosh sa'in. So when it comes to the shtei alechem of Shavuos, so I got one thing in favor, but one thing going against me. The one thing I have going for me is that it's wheat. There's less chaff by wheat. So therefore, it doesn't need as much sifting as the barley. On the other hand, it's still new grain. New grain has more chaff. So that's why I start off with still a full ephah to get down to 2 esronim. When it comes to lechem aponim, so there, 24 sa'ah to get down to 24 esronim. So lechem aponim is esrim v'arba esronim esra. May esrim v'arba sa'in. My time came in the mechitan asay umiyashan asu isaron mufchar asir misa'a. So the Gemara says, so here it's going to be easiest to sift because
it's old.
It's wheat and it's old. Okay, so I don't need to start off with as much. I don't need the ratio of 10 to 1 or 10 to 2. Here it's a ratio of 10 to 3. Right? Is that, is my math good today?
It's around coming from a single.
So it's like for it's like 10% for the other one, it's 20%, and then you end up with 20%.
You end up right.
That's only 30%.
30%. Okay, good. Okay. So yeah, my math is good for today. Tanu Rabbanan Kol Menachos Shariba B'Midas Esronim O Shemir B'Midas Esronim Psula. So, in terms of the resulting amount that you need, that is a hard number. That number is an absolute number, not more, not less. Now, in general, we know Yev Shalat Samsem, meaning the Torah does not expect absolute precision from us. Meaning, but to the best of our measuring ability, you need to end off with one Isaron, right? Or whatever the number is you need. But that resulting number is an absolute number. What about your starting number? Meaning by the Omer, for example. So we said we need a full Eifa. Is that number absolute? So the Gemara is about to tell us no. Riba b'midah sain shalahem o shemiyah b'midah sain shalahem ksheros. In terms of how much you start off with, that's not an absolute number. Meaning it's, again, a strong recommendation of the Torah that for the Omer you should start off with one Eifa. And then reduce it and reduce it down to... But if you didn't start off with one Eifa, you start off with more, you start off with less. Okay, kosher.
So Omer is a finer flour than the second time. That's,
barley has more chaff.
Yeah, you're coming come down from 10%.
You're coming down from 10 down to 1, and so you have 10% of your original. It's finer, but also the Gemara says it's just more schmutz, more just right, more things that we need to sift away. And finally, the last Mishnah of the 7th Perek, HaOmer HaYamanufa Mishlosh Esrei Nafa. We've mentioned this before a number of times, but here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, I have 13 sieves. Shtei Alechem is 12. Now the Shtei Alechem has 12. It's easy to remember. 12 loaves, 12 sieves. I don't think there's a real correlation between the two. I think it's just, you know, okay, whatever. It's just a number. But Lechem Aponim B'Yud Aleph, the Alechem Aponim, I'm sorry, Shtei Alechem is not 12. What did I just say? Shtei Alechem is 2 loaves, Shtei Mestrei that have 12 sieves. Lechem Aponim is 12 loaves. For that, you have 11 sieves. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Yalem Kitzvah. Rabbi Shimon says he wasn't a believer in number of thieves, right? Rabbi Shimon says it's not. I assume it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There is no absolute requirement of how many thieves you need. Ela Solos Manufa Kol Tzarcha Hayamevi. Just simply, in other words, the result. I need fine flour. Solos. I need fine flour. Whatever's going to get me to that point, I don't need even to sift it myself. Meaning, if I go to the store and they have already pre-sifted flour, there's no mitzvah of sifting. Shenemar, and Rabbi Shimon has a pasuk that supports it. V'lakachta solas v'afita osa. You can actually buy the flour and then you can bake it. So, right, and from the perspective of the Beis HaMikdash, so what did you just see? You saw that they didn't actually sift it. Somebody else did it. And then they bought it. So sifting is not part of the... It's not a required part of the avoda. I'll try to be clear. It is required. Meaning when the Torah says solus, it means that you need sifted flour. But the act of sifting itself doesn't mean need to be done by the Beis HaMikdash. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon.
Could be done outside then?
Yeah. It doesn't have Kedusha Saguf yet. Achete Manufa Kol Tzarcha. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes...
It's not a requirement to do how many sifting. Just maybe even one sifting would reach from 10 to 1.
Right. And also, by the way, I don't want to get too involved in this. Rashi, both versions of Rashi, both old and new, go into a detailed description about how actually you use the 13 sieves in order to actually do the sifting. Meaning...
it was from Sinai that it had to be done.
Right. Which one am I going to opt with?
Lechem Aponim.
All right. Here, the old Rashi, Mashman Mishas Lekicha, B'tchil Menaf. Okay. I'll quote Rashi in just a moment. Let's start the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan Batka, Bedaka, Begasa, Bedaka, Begasa. So the Brice over here describes going from a fine sieve to a larger sieve. back to a fine sieve, back to a larger sieve. Okay? So it's really counterintuitive, meaning, it'd be better if I were in the business. But, in other words, if I can imagine, right, sifting, so I would think that the whole idea over here is that you want to sift away the larger chunks first, and then go finer and finer and finer until you get to the fine flour. Okay, that's the way I would have described it. But, you know, again, I don't know anything to begin with, so that's, you know, that's just my imagination. The Braisa says you go fine, coarse, fine, coarse. If you look at the old Rashi, the manuscript Rashi, Bedaka Begasa, Betchila Menafa Benafa Daka, Shemosi Avak Dak Beinoni, She'ein Lavan Kolkach. So the way the Rashi describes it is that the first thing you do, apparently there's this powder, meaning it is not flour, it's even less than flour, it's powder. And the first thing we do is we put it through a really, really fine sift, and it gets rid of that powder. Rashi says it's not even ain lavan kolkach, it's not even that white. The akarkach begasa, and then we put in a coarse sieve, shemotzia solas, the koleta subin. What happens is the flour goes through, and all the solas, all the bran that you don't want gets to stay on the top. And then Rashi goes and describes, and we're going to keep going back and forth. We're going to keep alternating. That way, we keep getting rid of the powder stuff, and we keep getting rid of the coarse stuff. And eventually, after doing this repeatedly again and again, we get left with the good stuff. Okay, that is Rashi's description over here of alternating between daka and gasa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Shalosh Yisrei Napos Hayu Bemikdash Zulamal Lemizu VeZulamal Lemizu. Aliona kolat the subin, tachtona kolat the solas. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar describes kind of like what I was describing earlier, where it actually is right one over the other, and you just simply pour the flour through, and each one of them collects different chaffs, different solas, different stuff that I don't want. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo hayolam kitzva tan rabbanim. We have one more brace to finish up. Solas v'afita osa malamed shenikche solas, that you can actually buy it as fine flour. Uminay shafilu chitin tamalamer v'lakachta. You don't have to buy it flour, meaning you can buy the kernels and you could do the work yourself. So it says, the Torah says v'lakachta mikomakom, because v'lakachta means you get it, meaning and it, any which way, whether it's flour or whether it's grain. Yachol af b'shar menachos ken tamalamar osa mipnei hachisachon. So the Gemara says osa. Now the osa over here that's being quoted is regarding the lechem haponim, and the lechem haponim better that we don't get it pre-sifted, but we do the sifting ourselves. Why? So the Gemara says mipnei hachisachon. That's a funny word. Right, if the word were chisaron, a little bit better, but chisachon. So the Gemara mipnei chisachon, the Gemara recognizes that's a strange word. It's a word that we haven't seen that often. Amar Rabbi Elazar, HaTorah chasa al mamonim shei Yisrael. Oh, the word chisachon comes from a derivative of chas, to have compassion. Kadosh Baruch Hu had compassion upon us. What does that mean? What compassion did God have upon us? The lechem upon him is brought every week. Right, it's very common. There are 24 esronim. Okay, now if the Torah would have required us that we have to buy fine flour, so you know when people do work, they're very proud of the work, and they charge you for their work. So if the Beis Hamikdash had to have bought solas, fine flour, every single time, every single week, and it's 24 esronim, that's going to come at a cost, as opposed to buying the wheat and doing the work ourselves. Okay, and
it's old wheat.
And what?
It's old wheat.
Right, and remember, our labor is cheap because you know we have the Kohanim who need to do this, so we have the employment anyway. So get the when you, for the lechem aponim, you buy the grain and we'll do the work ourselves. Hator chasa al mamon shel Yisrael, rather than take the public money and have to use it to buy pre-sifted flour. Gemara says, how do I know that this is true? That the Torah's chasam amonah shayisah hecher emizit dechtiv ashkita sa'eidah v'ezbi iram. because Parshas Chukas, when we hit the rock and the water come flowing out, so predominantly, primarily, we were the ones who were thirsty, and we were the ones who wanted a drink. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided not only for us, but for our animals as well. Meaning, as opposed to having to purchase water for animals, the rock supplied water for the animals as well. Torah Chasa, Amon Yisrael, that the Torah not only cares about us, but cares about our money as well. So, here also, meaning to take communal money and to go ahead and to buy pre-sifted flour every week for the Lechem Aponim, that's an expense and that's too much. And HaTorah Chasa Mamon Hashem Yisrael, so the instruction is buy the wheat and do the sifting yourselves, basically is what the Torah says to the Beis HaMikdash. Hadralach Elo Menachos Nekmatzos Adkan, the end of the 7th parak. Tomorrow, God willing, we start the 8th parak of Menachos.